The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function.
Good evening, America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am your host tonight, Terry D. Kester, with
Leon Trotsky, Garland Nixon,
and Mark Levine.
Mark Levine, good to see you guys. And we are reporting, of course, live from Ben's Next Door, right next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 1213 U Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. There's a couple of empty seats left, so if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, come on down and join us for some good food and good conversation. And if you stop by, you'll have the chance to challenge us, make a comment, or ask a question. What more can you possibly ask?
Free okay. food?
Not for you.
No, but you can eat while you are here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Okay, calm down. We'll get raucous here in a moment. Our topic tonight is how to play Casino Wall Street and how to do a credit default swap. We're going to do a credit default swap right here tonight.
Can I be Goldman Sachs? Can I be Goldman Sachs?
Yes,
please.
You can.
All right,
can.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to make a lot of money tonight.
All right.
Woohoo!
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to the center of the world of greed, the hungry pit of world capitalism, Washington, D.C., the land of the free market and home of the brave bulls of the market, land of the liberated corporate lobbyists, and the best friend ever of the Wall Street casinos. Many of my longtime listeners know my slogan, if you see change in Washington, pick it up. What you probably don't know is that my buddy Timothy Geithner has decided to use that slogan and to have it engraved on the pediment of the U.S. Fed. So now, if you see what change in Washington, pick it up and start praying immediately. Oh, by the way, a little sidebar here. You probably know this, but in case you don't, the Fed is right next door to the National Pharmaceutical Association headquarters. Convenient, eh? You know? And there's tunnels between the two buildings, probably other tunnels. Some go to Goldman Sachs, some go to General Motors, some go to BP, some go to Mark Levine. You know, it's amazing.
That's my little secret,
okay.
Terry.
All right. To the point, and here's the topic we're getting into. It's been, believe it or not, 3 years since this economic tsunami first hit the shores of America and then the whole world. And the worst thing that could happen right now, brothers and sisters, the worst thing is an economic recovery before anything is changed. And that may be what is happening. This you won't believe. It's been 15 years since 1995 that the GAO warned about unregulated gaming, hedge funds, derivatives, all that stuff. 12 years since 13 bankers from Wall Street casinos marched on down to Washington, met with Summers, met with Greenspan, telling them, and Brooks Lee Born, who happened to be the chairman of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, telling them you cannot, must not regulate us or else.
Brooks Lee Born?
Brooks Lee
that
Born.
That sounds like the name of like a centerfold or something.
She's a very preppy Brooks Lee Born. Yeah, she's quite a mature lady. In fact, testified before Congress very recently and pointed all this out and took on and criticized Congress again for not backing her because they fired her rather than start regulating these things.
No BB.
Anyway, today hedge funds, see Mitt Romney, are still hedging, derivatives are still deriving, and worst of all, synthetic collateralized debt obligations are still being synthesized. And synthetic, you may remember, means not quite real. Not real, but good enough for Lloyd C. Blankfein.
The chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs.
Yes, which you just claimed to be wanting to be part of, right?
I just want to make their money. I don't want to go to hell. I just want to get their money.
Right. Okay. Well, the question is, are we in recovery? Well, not really, not yet, but in certain arenas we are marching in mad speculation once again. Tad more history for you before we get into the discussion here. The first credit default swap was introduced in 1995 by J.P. Morgan. By 2007, their total value had increased to an estimated $45 trillion, then to $62 trillion. The size back then of the credit default market dwarfs that of the stock market and the bond market they represent. Therefore, it kind of shows you that credit default swaps are being used for speculation. And today, believe it or not, even though we've had this big economic crisis and all this investigation and everything else, Wall Street casinos, today the hedge funds, derivatives, and credit default swaps, again, see Mitt Romney, have a total estimated value of $600 trillion, six times the entire world's GDP. So the question, as always, is what are we going to do about it? We the people may have a window of opportunity to create Wall Street regulation to begin to rebalance the rampant inequality that is more American than apple pie. So, Garland, knowing that you're a brilliant economist.
An economist?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you were an economist.
Well, I know I'm not an economist, so I must be an economist.
He is an economist. He's not an economist. He's an economist. Hey, I got through the whole script.
I'm an anonymous economist.
Economist. We don't know that you're an economist. Right. So you're an economist.
Is this economic anonymous?
It's all starting to make sense now.
Yes. Hi, I'm Terry, and I'm an economist. Anyway.
No, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I couldn't resist.
Okay. Now that we're totally confused. Garland, what the heck needs to be done, and are we going to push Congress, you and me, or anybody else, to limit the equality and the injustice that Wall Street has foisted upon us?
Oh, yeah, we're going to fix the equality and injustice, all right,
oh,
buddy.
Good.
That'll be
good. That'll take us about 10 minutes, and then we'll go get the crab cakes at Ben's next door, and then we'll have world peace. What do you think, the next 20?
Yeah, you're right. 20? Okay.
All right, that's our plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, think of the names you just mentioned, J.P. Morgan. I don't know how much you know about it, but they've been doing this stuff since 1840.
Yeah.
The reality is this. You're playing a shell game. It's obvious. They're playing a shell game. They've been playing a shell game. Call me pessimistic. Call me pessimistic.
Hello,
but
pessimistic.
I tend to think that if we fix this, they'll find another loophole. I'm just pessimistic. I don't feel that we're going to find a way to fix this, that the people who are in charge of $600 trillion aren't going to find another way around. I'm just not optimistic that we're going to find a way to fix this, that they're not going to find another way to shake it.
Hey, Terry.
Who?
Call me optimistic.
Okay, good.
You're optimistic.
Hi, optimistic.
The way I see it is this. You know, the boat is sinking.
Yeah.
The terrorists have the ship.
Yeah.
And we got to start bailing out the water. And
we got
to
peek up.
I mean, Garland's right. They'll drill another hole.
Yeah.
But then we'll plug that hole. One right after the other. One at a time. Actually, the boat is more sturdy now than it was in the 1930s. In the 1930s, banks failed right and left. Herbert Hoover allowed them to fail. You had the same kind of speculation in the 1890s, 1910s. The Federal Reserve exists now. I'm not saying we got a great system now. But I'm saying it's a heck of a lot better than it was 80 years ago, 100 years ago. We can fix it. We can make it better. It still won't be perfect. Call me an optimist.
Well, Mark, I call you confused. Well,
Mark,
I think
Mark makes a good point here that I didn't think about. That is this.
What, the Fed is on our side?
Yeah, there we go.
The point I think Mark's
making is a very good one, and that was this. When we think back of the, and not to be partisan here, but okay, I'll be partisan. If you think back to the 1929 crash, immediately after the Republicans were in charge of both houses in the White House, et cetera, and what they did was they said, well, the market will take care of itself,
as the right tends to do. Let's just balance the budget.
And we need to balance the budget. Right, and they did that, and everything went downhill. At least this time, because let's face it, I think we can kind of all compare this Great Recession to the Great Depression in a different context, but the same type of hit that we took. I think this time, at least, there is some reaction, some immediate reaction as opposed to having to wait for FDR to get in. So I think we're better off than last time because something is being done. Last time, everybody just sat on their hands and
I want to be clear. It hasn't been done yet. Yeah. But I am hopeful that it will be done, and I am actually hopeful, and I'm going to make you another prediction. I did this with healthcare. In the calendar year 2010, we will have significant financial reform. Another dollar bet, Terry?
Not yet.
I think he learned his lesson with that last dollar. He lost the last. For those of you that don't remember, Terry bet me we wouldn't get health care by June of this year, and we did it by March. So I actually won $2 with you.
You did? Because I
am an optimist. I think that this Congress and this president, for all their faults, actually could get the job done. I really do.
And the funny thing is, you know, we still don't have health care. We got this nice little piece of paper passed. It's being challenged by every court you can think of.
Perfect. It's better than what we have.
It's not even enforced or in place yet, for pity's sake. You know?
Some of it's coming around in a few months, in 2014.
Give me my $2 back, you know. All right.
I'm about to make
it. Yeah, so you can
For the record, Terry did not bet me the dollar because he also believes that financial reform will happen in calendar year 2010, don't you, Terry?
No, I'm not.
Admit
sure.
it. You're
no,
an optimist. Admit
well,
it.
Hey, don't give him the $2 back because he'll go gamble it away on derivatives or something.
I'm going to buy a credit default swap. In fact, we're going to do a credit default swap here tonight. We really are. So I hope you guys have got your money regular. We're going to do one so you make sure you understand what's going on here. It'll be a lot of fun. You'll lose a lot of money, but it's okay. That's the way the America
I
works.
I get to be Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. Okay, but let me ask you this question because it applies to what you guys are saying, you foolish optimist, you. What about Greece?
That stuff is bad, but it gives you a lot of cholesterol and you'll end up
there's
having a heart
attack.
There's not
that much Greece in Ben's
it.
Food. I actually think if you tried the crab cakes, you won't have
no,
one.
No, oh, okay, all right. Sauteed, it's delicious.
Yeah, it really is good.
The other Greece.
Oh, you mean
the country.
Yeah. The one in bankruptcy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. You remember how it got in bankruptcy?
Goldman Sachs, as I recall, bet against Greece.
No, they sold
them. And
won
their bet.
Well, yes, but they sold them a package worth $300 million. They literally sold Greece a package.
That was Greece's first mistake.
Claiming that this will take care of your debt situation. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, everything's golden here. And in the meantime, of course, they had bet against it.
May I suggest don't play the game when Goldman Sachs is the house?
That's a good suggestion.
Go to Vegas instead. You got better odds.
Yeah.
Is that so hard?
Go to the mafia and bet. You got better odds.
You got better odds. Yeah.
What's a loan shark.
You know, today, what's a broken knee? I mean, you can get that reset in no time, and a new health care plan will cover it, right?
I should, yeah.
Yeah, it should. Okay, all right. But, you know, still, if Greece defaults.
They won't. They're getting a huge loan from the IMF. The European Union's going to save Greece.
They're going to save Greece?
Yeah.
You're sure? What about what about Ireland, Iceland, Spain,
well, they haven't happened
Portugal?
Yet, Terry, so let's deal with it one country at a time.
That's right.
Okay. Look. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Iceland's going to sell volcanic ash or something, I think. They're going to make ashtrays out of it.
I think Iceland's going to say, we will turn off our volcano if you bail out our economy.
Yeah, there you go.
If you cancel our debt.
Make a nice little deal.
Good idea. The problem, what I'm trying to point out, guys, is this is international on a bigger scale. And this $600 trillion is so big. And the fact is, we don't even know today who owns what in terms of this $600 trillion.
Also true.
We don't know where it's distributed. We don't know who's who's selling it, who's still speculating with it, who's messing around. In other words, we are still in the situation, after all these years, of having no control, no regulation, no transparency for any of the financial situation we're in. And if the slightest thing goes wrong with credit markets anywhere in the world, be it credit markets here, I mean, be it even commercial real estate, be it in car loans.
A giant oil slick or something like that.
Giant oil slick.
Like
that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
didn't you hear offshore drilling is always safe, Garland?
Right, because that could devastate entire economies.
Yep. No, always safe. Don't worry about it. Sarah Palin says drill, baby, drill, and it's always safe. So,
we got to shape up, guys. I'm sorry. We may have to even get serious here. We have Arlene Engelhardt, Pacifica Executive Director, in the house.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
Hey, whoa.
Does that mean I don't get to be Goldman Sachs anymore?
Still be Goldman Sachs.
All right. Just in the credit default.
That means this is your last show. That's what that means.
Probably. You've exposed.
Welcome.
Your lack of talent has been exposed at the highest level.
Apparently so.
We are glad to have you here. We'll be more than willing to take notes afterwards, whatever you want to tell us, and we'll try to improve, but I don't know. It's pretty hard. You know?
It is hopeless.
It is the raucous caucus.
Just remember you can replace us, but you'll never fill our shoes.
I mean, I mean, to see Garland here as a pessimist tonight, if nothing else, is terribly shocking. I'm depressed by that.
Right.
Alone.
Mark's always an optimist,
which depresses me even more.
I am
the only realist here. Again, as usual, the doctor of democracy is the only one who's really paying attention to all this. All right.
Oh, you got a very sick patient, my friend.
Yes, I know that. I know that, doctor. Anyway, here we are. We are still in this economic crisis. We still don't know who's holding the cards. We don't know. We still haven't got a bill. We're still in trouble. We're still on the precipice. Did I mispronounce that?
No, precipice.
Thank you.
The precipice will do for now.
Okay. Good. I got to check every
now and
then.
Well, I think you need to come down off the cliff.
Yeah.
Because the way I see it is this.
Go ahead.
The AIGs of the world, the Goldman Sachs of the world, the JP Morgans of the world, they are financial terrorists. What they've done is they've wrapped explosives around themselves, and they're holding this baby in their hands. And that baby is the nation's economy. Because they know, as really every American should know, that like it or not, credit is the lifeblood of the modern economy. Without credit, you can't sell a home, you can't build a building, you can't have a small business or a grocery or a restaurant. Heck, you can't even farm food
you
today.
You can't even get a half Coke at Ben's, for pity's sake.
Well, you can't.
Sorry,
you
pal.
Can't,
there ain't no,
can,
look, there ain't no credit
cash
here.
At Ben's.
There ain't no credit here.
I don't know about you guys, but they canceled my tab long ago.
Well, that's just you, Terry. But since credit is the lifeblood of the American economy, and every world, modern world economy,
at this moment,
These huge financial institutions know that if we let them fail, they will blow themselves up like any good suicide terrorist and take the baby with them.
Yeah, right.
It's like the terrorist says, "Coppers, you don't dare shoot me. Baby will blow up."
Yeah, right. Garland, what is happening?
There's an answer, though.
I want to hear the answer.
I can get to it later.
If you got an answer for this, pal.
We're only 12 minutes into the show. You got
well,
an answer?
I can wait till the last half.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
It's taking this guy 12 minutes to fix the entire worldwide economy. Let him go.
You want him to be wrong in public.
We haven't been able to do it in 4.5 billion years.
The solution.
Okay. I got my money here.
It's really complex here, so you know, be ready.
Okay.
Y'all are seated.
We got you.
Is to make the terrorist put the baby down.
Well, don't oversimplify things here, Mark.
I can be more specific if you
We're
want.
Not that bright.
I'm actually serious.
We showed up tonight. We came up here seriously.
It's a metaphor.
We're standing here in front of Arlene Engelhardt talking about the economy,
and he fixes everything by putting the baby down.
No, I'm serious. I'm actually serious.
Okay.
Let me explain my metaphor a little bit more.
How we're going to put the metaphorical baby down?
I have a headache.
Here's the thing. There are legitimate business practices called banking and called insurance. You can't have an economy run without banking.
Insurance is legitimate?
And insurance is legitimate. A lot of businesses can't have business without banking insurance.
Go ahead.
Because banking and insurance, if they fail, lead to a wonderful domino effect that we learned in the 1930s where banks fail one after another. And because insurance companies, if they fail, you lose your money. I mean, you don't want... You know, Terry's insurance company, where you go and you say, Terry says, pay me your premium. And when your house burns down, Terry's nowhere to be found.
That's just the American way. What's the problem here?
Because since the 1930s, we have regulated banks and insurance companies. We say to banks and insurance companies, you want to be a banker, you want to be an insurer, you must have reserves. And we require banks to have reserves.
Right.
We require insurers to have reserves. We have the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. All of that is there.
And how come AIG, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, had no reserves?
Those are the terrorists. I'm getting to that. Now, wait a second.
He's still dealing with the baby
here. My point is that banks and insurers are legitimate businesses.
Okay.
We require them to have reserves. Okay. And that way, if there's a failure, you're paid off. All right. What AIG did is they took their legitimate insurance company, all right, which is, you know, the normal guy, clothes on his back, and they picked up the gambling baby, all right, and they said, we're going to take these legitimate funds that have backup of reserves, and we're going to go gambling. We're going to do credit default swaps. We're going to play the market. And if we win, we make hundreds of billions. And if we lose, don't touch my baby.
We make hundreds of millions.
I have explosives on my back. Don't touch my baby.
Okay.
It's very simple. And, in fact, Paul Volcker, who is advising the Obama campaign, former Federal Reserve Chairman Ronald Reagan.
And is being ignored in Congress.
Has something called the Volcker Rule.
Yes, right.
And the Volcker Rule requires the terrorists to put the baby down. All it says is very simple. You want to be in the insurance business? Be in the insurance business. You want to be in the banking business? Be in the banking business. We're going to heavily regulate you. We're going to require you to have reserves.
Okay.
If you want to be in the gambling business.
Calm down.
Well, let me finish my baby. I'm almost done.
Come on. You got 35 minutes there.
I'm almost done. If you want to be in the gambling business, you have to separate it.
How are you doing, darling?
I'm getting to my metaphor.
Okay.
You have to separate the gambling.
He lost me when he dropped the baby the first time.
You have to separate the gambling from the legitimate banking and insurance business.
Separate the baby from the terrorists. We got the point.
And then if you gamble, we don't care if you fail.
Okay. Is the bill doing that?
Beats the heck out of me. I don't even know what's in the bill. I'm telling you, I don't know what's in the bill. And let me say that. This may sound odd when I say I don't know what's in the bill because, you know, I keep up with this stuff. But here's why it's not odd. Because I'm the average American. Most people, this is very complicated. Most people.
It's not complicated. That's the whole point, actually.
Well, maybe I'm just not that bright, but probably a little of both.
But
whatever the case is, most people really, the whole problem is this is so complicated that most people don't even really understand what it is or understand what's going on. So a lot of people are very, very lost here, and people don't know what to support in the bill. People don't know what to support, who to support. It's good that Mark is explaining the Volcker Volcarol. See, I can't even pronounce it for God's sake. Whatever the rule is. Yeah, Mark's talking about putting the baby. But most people don't understand this, and it's very, very difficult to deal with.
It's difficult to deal with, though, because they deliberately don't want us to understand
that's
it
true.
With the language that they use. I mean, the same as when you buy a house and you get, the 5,000 forms, that you're supposed to know what all these fees are for. Right. All you know those fees are for is their pocket. You have no idea what all that means. You ask them to explain it. They can't even explain it. The same is true in banking. The same is true in credit card, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not actually that complicated, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about it tonight. It
is that your way of calling me an idiot?
No.
He does that off air, Garland.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. I was going to say. Yeah.
I would just do that.
And just in case, I mean, you're right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to dispute that argument.
I would be open with
carry
that.
Carry on.
No, it is not that complicated. And Garland, Mike, what is your name? Mark.
Mike.
Mark Levine. Nice.
But you can call him. But you can call him Mike.
Mark's metaphor has some value. I mean, it really honestly does. And certainly the Volcker bill or the Volcker rule, if that were incorporated into the bill, would be essential. But it is relatively simple, and that's why we're going to demonstrate it to you, in the second half of the show so that you can understand exactly what goes on with the credit default stuff.
In fact, prior to 2000, they had the Glass-Steagall Act largely did that, largely separated the legitimate banking from the gambling, which I'm okay with the gambling as long as it's not with insured deposits.
But the key point is not only do you have to put a limit on the gambling, you also have to have transparency.
Yes, you do.
You also have to
that's in the bill.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that the banks or the investment houses or the whatever they are has, as you mentioned before, enough capital reserves to cover some kind of problem that may come up, which, of course, none of that was required. But, again, I want you to remember, in terms of our government and in terms of our Congress, this does go back to 1995. This is not something that happened in the last year. This is not something that happened to Goldman Sachs because they weren't prepared and they didn't understand it.
None
of that is true.
All too well.
The chairman of the Commodities Commission understood this in the beginning in 1995 and warned about it. In 1998, they said, you've got to regulate this. We can't let this continue. There is nothing new in terms of these banks and these investment houses. They didn't know. And what has happened since, which is equally frightening, besides the $600 trillion in derivatives that are out there now, is what have we done with Goldman Sachs and with J.P. Morgan, et cetera? We've strengthened them.
Well,
we've made them bigger than ever. We've given them more.
We paid off the terrorists, Terry. They had the baby in their hands.
But let me say this.
I
would argue that it goes back to 1980, and I'll tell you why.
It goes back
because
this is
about deregulation. This is about stripping away the regulations. In 81 or 82 when they came out with the savings, and when they deregulated the savings loans, which I might add was two Democrats. Chuck Schumer was one of them, the guy St. Germain from Vermont or whatever. And whatever the case, when they came out with the laws to deregulate the savings and loan, and a few years later, the savings and loan, 4 or 5 years later, the savings and loans crisis crashed, and everything, the savings and loans crashed. That was the canary in the coal mine. That should have sent the message then that if you deregulate financial institutions, they're going to blow up in your face.
Now, wait a minute.
But nobody saw that, but they
just continued. Neil Bush, the unknown brother, made a lot of money off those savings and loans.
The prosecution.
Can I be him when we do the savings and loan example? I want to be Neil Bush in
you
that
can.
Example.
Yeah.
Cool. Goldman Sachs, Neil Bush, you had a pretty good night here, buddy.
I'm going to have a great night.
Yep.
But the bottom line, all I'm saying is this. When deregulation started, there were clear indications that financial regulations would crash when you did that, and that, of course, a lot of crooked people would make a lot of money. It's just that the financial structure was much, much larger, and it just took a lot longer for the big picture to crash.
I'm gonna say it didn't start in 1995, and it didn't start in 1980. It started at the panic of 1897. I mean,
started in Egypt. But
the next thing you're going to say it started when the Earth cooled and some amoeba started separating.
The point is, people have been making schemes.
Wasn't that Apple purchased on a loan?
Didn't
Barn and Bailey say there's a sucker born a minute? People have been trying to steal money from other people for a very long time.
But Garland brings
and that's
up a
why
good
we
point.
Have these institutions in place to prevent that.
See, there was these two dinosaurs arguing over coconut. That's when it started.
Dinosaurs eat coconuts?
The problem is they took away all the regulation. And the other point that hasn't been raised here today is also about the rating agencies.
You mean there's a point that hasn't been raised here today?
Yeah, there is.
There's actually several.
The rating agencies also, Standard & Poor's, Moody's,
are a big cause of the problem.
Are unregulated. the day before Lehman Brothers collapsed.
Here, Terry, I got this.
Wait. The day before, the rating agency said investment grade for Lehman Brothers.
Terry, I got this
before.
Piece of paper here,
yep.
Moody's and Standard & Poor's say it's worth $1 million. I'll give it to you for $500,000.
What
Moody's and Standard & Poor's tell you it's AAA.
Well, there's
are you going to dispute these wonderful ratings agencies?
Actually, the argument...
I'll give you this piece of paper. I'll give it to you for a mere $100,000.
And do you know why the agencies gave these false ratings?
Well, they make a lot of money.
No,
by
they were
doing
negotiating
that.
How much they were going to get paid at the
That's
time.
Right.
The rating
right.
agencies were actually negotiating how much they were going to get paid to do the ratings at the time the people who were going to pay them asked them to rate them, and they said, oh, they were all AAA.
Hey, can I pay my teacher to get an A, too?
Of course you can.
All right, good. I just want to make sure that everybody can do it.
Well, I'll put it like this. As a professor, would you please take my class next semester, and we'll certainly work out a deal.
Yeah, we'll make it a deal. All right, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I've taught college in a couple places. It was cheap.
You just paid for
it was easy. You know,
well,
it wasn't just money. You know,
I'll charge you per research paper.
I mean, there are academic standards here as well. You know, it's not just to do with money. There's a lot more involved.
Standards?
Yeah.
Well, but
anyway,
the ratings agencies
the point that we're making here, obviously, is that the whole darn system has been deregulated over the last 20 years or more. This is not an overnight problem. It's not going to be solved easy. The real question is Congress doing anything? Is the Senate doing anything that needs to be done? And we've only got a couple minutes left before our break, but maybe one of you guys know, are there any senators at this point that we can, as American citizens, trust in terms of what is happening in the financial reform bill?
I would say this. There's not a matter of are there any. There is a matter of are there enough that will vote the right way?
Yeah. I actually think, thus far, Chris Dodd's doing a pretty good job. Now,
he's
we can
trying.
Always do better. I support, as you heard, the Volcker rule. They probably won't go that far. They won't put the baby down. They'll kind of dangle it by the arm a little.
Kind of like Michael Jackson dangled the kid
exactly.
over the
distance
side of the...
Exactly. Distance itself from the explosives. I think they should drop the baby. But at the end of the day...
Oh, you're a sick man.
There is a lot of good things. Well, better to drop the baby than keep it with the explosives. This metaphor can
go that's
really
right. It's a metaphor. My mistake.
This metaphor is really getting disgusting. You know, it really is. And thank heavens we have to take a break here, which is going to get us away from that horrible metaphor and babies being dropped on WPFW. I mean, this is not good, you know. Okay, so we've had, in my opinion, we've had a great discussion. I hope some of this is making sense to you. We're having fun with
sure
it, obviously.
Us.
You know, I mean, Garland's confusing me. Mike's got metaphors that just,
Mike.
You know...
But you can
why
call
do I
him
keep
Mark.
On calling you Mike?
I don't know.
You know, it's been so long since I've seen you. You know, I've just forgotten everything that you meant to me before. Now, anyway.
I'm telling your wife.
We are going to continue this conversation here in just a minute. When we come back, we will get you involved. I hope you can come up and ask questions.
If you have the grand solution, we want to hear it.
Well, we have the grand solution right here with your metaphor, drop the baby, but we're not going to get into that.
I told you that was the answer.
But you can still come down here to Ben's. You can get some great food, great cheesecake, great cab cakes. Come on down here. Join us at the Raucous Caucus. We will be continuing. And when we get back, you can ask questions. And when we get back, we're going to sell you credit default swaps.
It's a great bargain.
It's
really.
A great bargain. It really is. Right here in the Raucous Caucus. We'll be back in a moment.
What does support of WPFW mean to you? Preservation of America's classical music.
Can I say what I mean? Why don't I stay home? cruise from house to two canal streets. A misfit and a rebel. See the winos talking themselves, so and I can't understand. Why is it every time I go out, I always seem to get into some kind of trouble? I guess I made an impression on somebody, and all the history down the brain.
We're subtle. I love that.
You subtle? No, yeah, never thought you were subtle.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This is the Raucous Caucus, and I am Terry D. Kester with...
Garland Nixon.
Oh, nice try. Nice try.
And Mark Levine, the creator of the terrorist baby metaphor. You heard it here first.
Don't claim that buddy.
Yeah, creator of Drop the Baby. I mean, a great economic...
He's got to drop the baby. That's what I said.
That terrorist metaphor is about as good as the terrorist bomb plot in New York.
Let's not even go there. Anyway, welcome back to the Raucous Caucus down here at Ben's Next Door.
Okay.
Now, obviously, we've been a success with the first half because our audience out there is arguing. I mean...
There are literally fist fights going on here.
Don't throw the food. It's too good.
Yeah, don't throw the food.
Don't throw the food.
Oh, no, don't drop the baby.
Don't drop the baby.
No, you need to drop the baby.
Oh, that's right. Okay. It's the food. Okay.
We are trying.
Tell the terrorists to leave the baby alone.
All right. Everybody calm down. Take a deep breath. We are trying here to explain to you how this country got so screwed up economically. We are trying here to educate you so that you know what to do when you call your senator, and you better call them, and you better tell them...
Or her.
You better tell them that you want the gaming in Wall Street, the gambling in Wall Street, stopped, period. If the laws don't do that, if the new...
I'm actually okay with the gambling as long as the baby is dropped.
Let them do it with their own money. No, it doesn't work that way. The whole betting on how it works out, on whether a loan makes it or doesn't make it.
Well, yeah, no, I got a problem with that, too.
That's the problem.
It's kind of like betting on whether your neighbor's house will burn down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a little moral problem there, particularly if you like to play with money.
Right. Yeah, throwing a match in the window.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a credit default swap right here.
All right, cool. I get to be Goldman.
You get to be Goldman. All right, you pay me to
do this.
Now, we need one volunteer up here to help us out. Who wants to volunteer?
Who wants to do a credit default swap with me?
Come on, come on up here. Greg Smith, come on up here. You know, come on up here.
The ratings agency say it's AAA.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, all right.
Okay. We got a victim. I mean, a customer. A customer.
Okay.
Go up to the mic.
Yeah, go up to the mic. Yeah, Gladys, I'm going to need you to pass some things back and forth here. Okay. What is your name, sir?
Gaston.
Thank you so much.
Our victim. I mean, customer.
So much.
Customer.
So much here for coming to Goldman Sachs.
Client.
Welcome to Goldman Sachs, Gaston.
Goldman, we call them clients.
I said clients.
Okay. Gaston. I'm sorry. Name again?
Gaston.
Gaston. I was right.
Then after the transaction, we'll refer to them as victims.
Gaston. Mark here is going to loan you $1.
Okay? I have to give him $1?
No. Of course not.
I'm Goldman Sachs.
Give him that dollar, okay?
Here you go, a piece of paper representing a dollar.
Okay. Okay.
All right, you got it. Yeah. You get to keep that post-it note.
Hold on to your metaphorical dollar.
That's your dollar. You got to pay a little interest on it, but, you know, that's your dollar. That's your loan, right?
There you go.
Okay, you can do whatever you want with
that. That's right. Enjoy it.
All right. Now, Garland.
Yeah?
Garland's teamed up with Mitt Romney, you know, and I apologize.
And a perfect team, I might add.
Yeah. Okay.
Romney-Nixon, wasn't that a campaign?
Garland wants to buy that loan from you, Mark.
Oh, I'll sell it to you, too.
Okay, so Mark.
No, I'll give you all worth of pieces of paper.
Here's your loan. Okay.
All right.
All righty.
That's Mark's loan that he just made to Gaston. Right?
He's going to sell it to me.
I got a post-it here. Yep, you got a post-it.
Okay, now you got to sell that.
Here you go, Garland.
Enjoy.
Okay. And how much am I giving him for that?
I get commission on all this stuff.
He gets commission. He gets fees. Woo-hoo. I'll just write down here.
Wait till we get to the bonuses of my exams.
Okay. So you got that. You got commissions. You got fees.
I got commissions. I got fees.
All right.
I got bonuses.
And I got a bad loan.
Not yet. Now Gaston's paying his interest. He's okay.
Thank you, Gaston.
Don't change the rates or anything like that?
We'll talk about that later.
We're gonna get to the contract, pal.
Yeah. That's on page 417.
417B.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel they're ready.
Now.
You might not see it. It's in number three font.
I got my commissions. I'm happy.
All right, calm down.
If you got an electron microscope, you can find it.
You're busy. You're busy. Calm down. You're busy. You're out there working with Mitt. You've bought about 10 of these things, 10 of these loans from various loans.
I don't like the way this is going.
Yeah, you got a whole package, see? Now you got a
Moody's
package.
Says it's AAA. Don't worry.
Yeah, you paid Moody's to be involved in this. They helped you out.
Right.
They're
Moody's
telling
and
you,
I have a nice little deal, and they 10, say right? it's as good as
okay.
gold.
So you got
Men's
10.
Sachs.
Yeah.
Here, you got 10 loans there. That's 10 more loans you got. You're holding all those loans, right?
Okay. I'm holding them all right.
I keep getting commissions.
Everything's okay here so far, right?
Can I bet against him?
Mark,
I know these things
Mark what I want you to do is I want you to go to AIG and get some insurance on this.
Oh, hey, AIG.
Okay.
Hey, give me some more commissions, and now give me insurance on all of these loans. And you know what? I'm going to bet against Gaston and Garland. I'm not going to tell them I'm going to bet against them because they're my clients.
Okay. Now, Terry.
So, you're not going to know I'm betting against
you. If Gaston doesn't pay, do I break his legs or do Mark?
Nobody bats to break his legs. It doesn't.
No one harms the terrorist.
How you doing
I have
out there,
a baby Gaston? In my hands.
I just lose everything in the process.
Yeah,
I don't know anything. I just lose everything.
No. Just keep reading page 417. Okay. You'll find it sooner or later.
Now, we make it very simple at this point. Things go a little tough for Gaston. Just a little bit, right? Okay.
Gaston has had some hard times.
Give that dollar to Gladys. You haven't got that dollar anymore.
Uh-oh. He's broke.
Gaston, you're getting foreclosed upon.
That dollar's gone. Okay, you still got a package of 10 right there, right?
10 worthless things.
But now everybody starts to go through that same pattern. Debbie goes through that pattern. Gladys goes through that pattern. So these are about worthless.
Hey, wait, that's okay. I bet against them. I'm doing well.
Now, yeah.
I just lost my shirt.
Now, all this time, you guys have been pairing Mark here interest on all of these products.
And commissions. And fees. And my bets against them.
And he bet against
them. He bet
that Gaston would go bad. He bet that Garland would go bad.
I didn't do it to your face.
And
I was very nice to you to your face.
Come here, AIG. You got to give Mark all the money.
Giving that to me, too.
He wanted to be gold.
I'm drowning in post-it notes. All right.
That's how the credit default swap basically works.
I win.
So now Mark's too big to fail, right?
Mark is too big to fail.
I got the baby and the bathwater.
Gaston, I'm really sorry about this. Your house is being foreclosed on. You know, you're screwed. I mean, it's the American way.
Yeah, Gaston, you have to pay more state. You have to pay more state taxes now.
Of course, I'm expected to pick my own self up by my bootstraps.
Of course you are.
Absolutely, right?
Well, you screwed your own self, didn't you?
Of course.
Of course.
I already bought a home.
No, actually, this is where Gaston joins the Tea Party movement.
Oh, no. That's right. It starts complaining about big government. Yeah. No, we have a legitimate question.
Okay.
Here, right?
We have a couple of legitimate questions here.
Right, go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen,
I like the
Gaston,
illegitimate.
Let's hear it for Gaston here. He's gone broke,
Gaston!
You know. But sorry. That's the way it happens on the Raucous Caucus.
And we don't discriminate. We'll take illegitimate questions also.
Yeah. Get into the mic, sir.
May I mention an irrelevant issue?
Well, it depends how irrelevant it is.
That's pretty much all we do the whole show.
In June of 2009... The stock on
AIG. Your name, sir?
AIG was $1.38.
Okay.
I purchased 326 shares. That stock now has gone up to $50 and then down to $40. And today, as I stand here, it's $38.
And you paid how much?
And I paid $1.38 for it.
Drinks on him.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually,
and you're paying for all our meals right here at Ben's? Thank you so much, sir.
Now, here's what AIG had a problem with. Here I am. I had all these stocks, 326, paid $1.38. It was the equivalent of $414. Today, at $50, it would have been $14,344.
I say sell. I'm just, you know, I don't mean to give you
a... Wait a minute. I think this thing's going to get ready to get ugly, Mark.
Now,
okay.
What AIG did, they did a reverse stock split.
I saw that.
They took away... 417B of your contract,
did
you, sir?
They did a reverse stock split. For every 20 shares I have, they gave me one.
There you go.
So today, we're going to sue them. But there's a lot of us out there that
you got to love them. I mean, they are
today,
creative, you know?
My it's worth $1,000, even after they split.
You still doubled.
But it's go to hell. It should be. It should be $14,000, and I'm suing the sons of bitches.
The sad thing is reverse stock swaps are pretty common.
Yeah. Citizen here, and we thank you, citizen, for bringing us the truth. And AIG, you got to admit,
It may cost us all our jobs, but hey, what the heck? The truth
all
is worth
I know
it.
Is I'm drowning in Post-it notes.
Yeah.
So I'm very
That's all right. Happy. It's not one of the seven words. I think we're okay. All right. You had a question, sir. Come on up to the
I got mafia connections, pal. You got my money. You're going to be drowning.
Okay.
And your name, sir.
Your name.
My name is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
I don't proclaim to know a lot about the financial background on why it, you know, created this devastation in our country financially. But my question is, for banks that are deemed too big to fail, what are the consequences if they did fail? Because I've never heard
really good question.
You know, explain why they're
It has to do with my point of what the explosives are that the terrorist has, how they can kill the baby.
Are you going
to
drop the baby
again? No, I'm not. The
You're
problem
not
is if
the
terrorist has the baby.
Now, wait, let me just throw this in, Mark. Mark has a degree in economy from Harvard, so even though
but
he has...
Real,
even if I give bad
even
metaphors...
Even if he has misguided metaphors, he kind of knows what he's talking about.
The point is he has no children. He's never held a
right.
never
true.
Held a baby.
Maybe that's why I'm playing with babies and terrorists.
Okay.
Look, at the end of here's the problem. Credit really is the lifeblood of the economy. AIG had 35% of every insurance contract in 35% of every business in America had some insurance connection to AIG. What that would mean is that if you're just a guy and you got a grocery store and you got fire insurance on your grocery store, all right? You paid your premium for that year. Maybe it was, I don't know, $10,000. Now AIG fails. Now, through no fault of your own, you're just a grocery store owner. You got to pay another $10,000 to another insurance company. And now you have 35% of business in America. One-third of everyone in America has to shell out thousands of dollars to have to double their insurance payments. You know how that messes up a recession?
The good news is, in the
1930s, we had this kind of credit problem, and we had bank failure after bank failure after bank failure. That's why we had the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation today. The problem is not that AIG would fail. I don't give a damn about AIG. I'd love to see them fail. You know, if the terrorist puts the baby down, let the terrorists blow themselves up. But when the terrorist has our credit in their hands, what AIG, had they failed, would have done is it would have affected one-third of every American. That's how big they were. That's why they were too big to fail. So it's like President Obama said. He said it's like root canal. I didn't want to pay off the terrorists. He didn't use the word terrorist. He said root canal. I say the word terrorist. But President Obama said it was horrible. It was like root canal. We did not want to pay them off, but we had to, or there would have been an economic meltdown.
The other part is, we paid them once, but to make
the system so we never have to happen.
The other part about this is the money that was invested in AIG. You had major corporations, you had counties and cities and teachers unions, etc., that had all of their pension funds invested in AIG. So imagine you work for a company or you work for Anne Arundel County, whatever county, for 30 years, they fold, your pension fund disappears, and you've worked for whatever company this is for 30 years, and you get a letter that says, sorry, when AIG went under, all of our pension money left, you're not going to get anything anymore, your pension is gone.
It's like the Enron workers.
This would have happened to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, retired people, nationwide.
The question is, are we better off with or without letting AIG fail? And you can make a lot of arguments and a lot of claims that we're no better off if we had let AIG fail.
Depends on
because
who you are.
We have bailed out. Our economy is still a shambles. There are millions of people that have been screwed. There are pension funds that are screwed. There are all kinds of the states.
It could have been a lot worse.
Yes. You can always say that. I mean, that's real easy to say.
We saw the Great Depression. I don't want to pay off the terrorists.
The point is, you're not through this economic cycle yet. You're not the least bit through with
it. We are getting better.
No, we
are not. Our economy is getting better.
You can't get better when there's $600 trillion of derivatives and credit default swaps out there that, again, have no control, no regulation, and no transparency.
The boat has stopped sinking.
No.
We haven't fix the hole yet.
All we can do is float a little bit longer.
Right.
Until
we fix the hole.
Until those who own.
Different metaphor.
Those who own that $600 trillion decide they don't like the way the game is playing. They want to change something. They want to do whatever they want to do. They are the ones in control.
But let's talk about what the Senate bill does.
Of your economy.
Because what it does, first of all, it brings
supposed
all
of this. Supposed to
do. Supposed to. No. If the bill that's currently before the Senate Banking Committee, the one that's been written by Chris Dodd.
That's being debated. Yeah.
If it were to become law, one of the first things it would do is bring all of that at least into the light. You know, there may be a lot of cockroaches around, but if you don't see them, you can't do anything about them. So the first thing it does is it brings it all into the light. It would require all these credit derivative swaps to be sold on exchanges where regulators...
Not all of them.
Well, the great majority of them. Yeah. You're right, not all of them.
The small ones. The big ones, no. They will still be secret. Go on.
Well, no, wait, Terry.
The ones that won't
be on it are the ones where you're basically a farmer and you're betting on your wheat prices, things like that. The massive ones are supposed to be on the exchanges.
Not the really big ones, no. No, and worse than that, everybody is now applying for an exemption, like you say, the farmers. Now, again, this isn't farmers. This is agribusiness that is trying to get exempted. The same thing with the
airlines and
the same thing with the automobile dealers. This is not Joe Blow down here with his little lot and four cars.
You're right. People are trying
to
get exemptions.
These are the
mega
auto companies that got a full page ad in the Washington Post today.
And to me, the answer
don't make us be transparent.
And to me, the answer is, what is so much to fear about transparency? If you're not doing anything wrong, you put up a glass window, you shine the light in, you say, "Look at me, I'm good, and I'm not hurting anybody."
Yeah, if it were transparent,
understand the fear from transparency unless you are. Doing something
unless it's fraud, which is exactly what Goldman Sachs is being charged with now.
Right.
And
so shine a light on it.
And what's really sad is was it Geithner or no, it's Warren Buffett who said there's nothing wrong with what Goldman Sachs did.
Well, I mean,
it is Geithner who came from Goldman Sachs. Yes, if I got that right. Yes. Uh-huh. And so you really expect Paulson also, Goldman. Right? I mean, wasn't Geithner Paulson?
Geithner was at the New York Fed. I don't think he was with Goldman Sachs.
Geithner was Paulson's protégé, right?
He wasn't at Goldman Sachs.
Well, he will be as soon as he gets done here. Straight where he's going. It is that revolving.
He's going to join Mark at Goldman Sachs? Is that what you're telling us?
Probably.
All I know is I got a lot of post-it notes
that Goldman Sachs is doing fine.
And I'm doing just fine.
And I got no post-it notes.
Okay, so if the bill... And this
Thank
is
you for doing a business with us. Come again.
This is seriously why you've got to call your senators right now. Because right now, we, as usual, with the news coverage and everything else, we're caught up in all kinds of things that are important, but really not quite as important as this. We're caught up in the oil slick, which is a disaster and a tragedy. But we're not paying attention to the economic situation. And that economic situation is going to, if it crumbles now.
It's not an either or. We can care about the environment and the economy.
That oil slick's pretty nasty business right there. Oh,
and I wouldn't want to be a shrimp fisherman right now.
The point is the media is not paying attention to it.
Or dead shrimp.
Senate is dragging its feet on it.
Look,
it's not going to pass before elections.
Can I give you – you want to bet on it? I'll bet you a dollar.
Yes.
All right, before November 2010. Election day.
Before election day,
we will have a financial
reform
bill.
There will be $1.
$1. You saw it?
Yeah.
We got lots of witnesses. $1. We will get a financial reform bill signed into law by President Obama.
Okay. And prior to
election day 2010.
Mark.
Here first.
Okay. Mark.
Before we go ahead with that.
You should know we have a lot of witnesses to the crime.
Yeah. Can you loan me a dollar?
You guys have just
I haven't got a dollar to bet. Can you loan me a dollar?
No, Mark took all my dollars.
I'd like to get a dollar.
In the form of post-it notes.
I've got an IOU.
That's okay. You're good for it. You paid me for the health care. We were wrong about that, too.
Okay. So we've got to get... I wasn't wrong.
You were wrong. I got $2.
Wait a minute.
Check it out. He just wasn't right. Okay? He wasn't wrong.
Thank you.
Like Sarah Palin wasn't wrong when she said there's no danger from offshore drilling.
You're trying to get off topic, aren't you?
No, we just like talking about Sarah Palin.
I'm just trying to compare you
we
to Sarah
Palin.
You can
always get a laugh out of Sarah Palin.
I'm trying to compare you to Sarah Palin.
We need the public to do something
Mark.
Yes, we do. We need the public to get involved. You cannot sit back and let this just
happen. Oh, good luck.
So besides transparency.
Can I get some good
news
for
change? What would happen? What would be wrong if we simply outlawed derivatives, credit default swaps, et cetera, from the get-go? They were outlawed in the past. You couldn't do what they're doing now.
Look, but it's not going to
happen. You know what a credit derivative is? No, Terry, a credit derivative swap is a fancy...
A credit default swap.
Well, there's credit... They're derivatives because they're derived from... Basically, when you're betting on something else, that's what's derivative. So a credit default swap. You know what that is? It's a very fancy name for something else you've probably heard of before. Insurance. All a credit default swap is... What a credit default swap is, you are buying insurance...
My goodness gracious.
Based on whether somebody pays their debt...
Can you still go to a class...
Or doesn't pay their debt.
Can you go back to school at Harvard?
No.
Can you get in there? Because there's some basic economics here.
Here's the difference. They decided to call it a swap because insurance is regulated. If you call it a swap, meaning I'm swapping the premiums I pay for the money you're going to pay me if somebody goes under, if you call it a swap, you get around the regulators. All it is, it's unregulated insurance. It is gambling.
It is gambling. Okay, fine. As long as you got to that point, you can stay in the class.
But my point is that if you regulate it, there are legitimate reasons for these things.
Well, now, wait a minute.
In 1907, 1909, up until then, we had banned bucket shots.
That's right.
Which were the same basic thing.
Right. Bucket shots, people, what they do is they would bet on the market.
It was going to go up and down.
Right.
And what they did is they actually outlawed bucket shops around the country. Individual states did it. The federal government didn't even have to get involved.
No, the federal government got involved, 1909.
Yeah, the federal government, but the states also outlawed bucket shops. What the Glass, was it the Glass-Steagall Act?
Glass-Steagall Act is
just overrode all of those state
and
laws.
Do you know when your bucket shop ban was removed? You know the year?
2000.
Republican Congress, after Bush had been chosen by the Supreme Court,
right.
And you had Bill Clinton as a lame duck president, and the Republicans put some of those omnibus 12,000, 15,000 page bill where the government can't run if you don't pass it. And they stuck it in. It was about one line in a 10,000.
Do you think Neil Bush was happy with that?
You notice
you never hear about Neil Bush anymore?
I suspect he's taken his fraud quite far.
The older brother. Yeah. All right. So we've got to we can't outlaw according to you. I think we should outlaw entirely.
Here's what the bill would do. All right. What it says is if you have a legitimate reason to have a credit default swap, and let me give you a legitimate reason, all right? Let's say that you are an airline and you don't know whether gas prices are going to go up or down, and you want to say, I'll pay $50 a barrel for my gasoline, and then whether it goes up or down, you can risk it, you can bet on that, you're the speculator, I get my solid payment. It's what farmers do as well. It's called futures. And as long as it's regulated, and as long as you're betting on something that you yourself have an interest in, you're an airline, you need the oil, you're a farmer, you need the crops. The problem with credit default swaps is people started betting on things they had no interest in. They started betting their neighbor's house would burn down. Goldman Sachs started betting that Greece would fail. When you start betting, and later Goldman Sachs started betting their own clients would fail.
Yeah, but
when
you bet on someone else's failure. But let's not confuse futures with credit default swaps. That's a very different thing.
Well, a credit default swap is a payment that's based on if someone doesn't pay their debt, then you get insurance they're going to pay their debt.
Right. I mean, but futures is perfectly legitimate. I mean, for instance, Southwest Airlines was one of the airlines smart enough to have like 3 years of futures in jet fuel. And
the thing about credit default swaps is you're buying a insurance, if you will, although it's not called that because they don't want to be regulated, that if Garland doesn't pay me my debt, Terry will. Gaston will. The problem is that if all three of you don't pay me my debt, I've got a bunch of worthless pieces of paper and selling the whole economy.
But it went one further, too, because they bought one of the things Goldman did was they bought a bunch of basically the insurance from a small company called ACA, who in turn bought it. So they would buy it from one insurance company who would then buy their insurance and reinsure. By the time AIG got it, it had been sold by a couple insurance companies, and it just went up the – went up the line.
It's like the show game.
Yeah.
And whoever was left with the thing at the end.
The key point that we've forgotten about is allowing these investment firms to become banks as well.
That should never be repealed.
Immediately, and if that's not repealed, you're going to have the same game and the same problem.
Put the baby down. Banks do banking. Insurers do insurance. Gamblers do your gambling. put the baby down, and we'll be okay.
But I don't think Glass-Steagall's going to get back in.
Probably not.
No, and if it doesn't get back in, then you haven't got economic reform, do you?
I don't agree, not necessarily.
You have partial economic reform. Transparency alone would do wonders. It really would.
But wait a minute. But you know, one of the problems with Glass-Steagall,
Let's explain, because not everyone knows what Glass-Steagall is. Garland, why don't you explain? Do you want me to explain?
You go ahead and explain it, Mark. You can explain it in more detail than I can.
It happened in the 1930s. It said basically that banks and brokerage firms have to have separate businesses.
Right. One of the problems is...
That's it. That's
simple. And one of the arguments made there is that if the U.S. Bans it, that all of the other countries are doing it, and that
Mommy,
will put us
they're jumping off a cliff. I want to jump off a cliff, too.
Yeah, but that's why it won't go through, because everyone else is
doing it.
We taught
doing
everybody
it.
Else how to screw up.
The French are doing it.
That's why it's not. I'm just
saying,
that's why it's not going to go through, because that argument sits there.
I wish that worked for healthcare. The English, the French, the Canadians.
Yeah, you're right.
It didn't work.
Would be nice.
The Costa Ricans and...
Okay, we're running out of time here, guys, so we've got to begin to wrap this up.
Right.
We have solved all of these problems of
terrific.
The world.
Terrific. We do world peace next week. Great.
We took advantage of Gaston. Sorry, Gaston. That's the way the market works, you know. I apologize. We had to do it, you know.
I talked to the gentleman with the AIG stocks. Hopefully he can cover your tab.
Yep.
Oh, he's coming back to the mic.
He's coming back. Maybe
hurry up.
We only got a minute left here.
Coffee party on Thursday. This coming Thursday.
The coffee party.
At 8:30, in the Senate office, to stand up against Wall Street, mm-hmm. and we need people. We need signs.
Where?
Which Senate office?
The coffee party at 8:30 a.m. this coming Thursday.
Which Senate office?
It's set up by the coffee party.
Okay, you don't know a room number or anything like that.
The what?
A room number in the Senate? It's a big place.
You go into the entrance.
Okay, basically. The entrance of the Senate.
And we will go around all
of right, go there and you'll find a coffee party.
We need signs. We need people. We got to say we're there because of the Tea Party, for crying out
loud. That's
right.
Yes. And Americans drink coffee. It was the British that drank the tea. I mean, come on.
Oh, by the way, in case just a little bit of history just to strain things out there, you know, the protest against the tea was against a corporation.
Yeah, British.
It was not
East
the British
India
government.
Tea Company.
It was the East India Tea Company. Just to get a little fact straight there. All right. Yes. All right. We're running out of time.
We got some people we
thank you
thank
very,
here.
Very much here. Let me get through this, and if we have a second more, we'll talk a little bit more. But I'm pretty sure that's all the time we've got tonight. I want to thank, first off, our charming and super hardworking producer, Gladys.
Yay, Gladys!
Good for Gladys. Woo. Our technical master over there, Drew. You can see him with headphones
Woo,
and
man,
telephones
this guy is,
and
he's
everything.
Got about six hands and three
fantastic.
Tentacles.
Drew the octopus.
Yeah, the inimitable T. Sturtevant back at the studio thank along you. With Sidrack Franklin. And we, of course, got to thank Ben's Next Door, which hosts us tonight and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., and especially Ben's owner, Nizam Ali.
Hi, Nizam.
And Tariq.
Yeah. Without whose fervent support, our radio show before a live audience could not happen. Garland and Mark, used to be Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill and Mike.
Thanks for helping us out here. Got to give a big thanks to our audience. Thank you so much for coming down here tonight and being part of this.
They lost a few dollars tonight, but...
Thank you for participating.
But Goldman Sachs did better. Yeah.
You can reach any or all of us on our website at Raucous Caucus, www.rcndc.com. That's RC, the letter N, DC.com. You can reach any one of us right there. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Raucous Caucus. We're here every Tuesday night. And you can at 7 p.m. at Ben's Next Door. You can listen. We will eventually be all. I have to end already.
We gotta go.
Jeez, I have a lot more I want to do.
Facebook. Oh, we gotta go.
Facebook. Thank you very much
Facebook
for coming to Rock
and Roll.
We'll see you next week.
A conversation in which we all get a chance to speak, to listen, to be heard, and to collaborate to solve our problems. Participatory democracy is not just insider talk about. Or among winners. To be part of a genuine democracy, we all must be encouraged actively to partake in its conversation.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next Tuesday at 7 for another edition of Dialogue.
WPFW, Washington.